are not Yahweh's thoughts. Neither are his ways Yahweh's.
Exodus 3, verse 15. And Elohim said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
So mankind might think it doesn't matter what you call, or it's trivia, but Yahweh said, this is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Is there a difference between what Yahweh thinks and what man thinks in a lot of cases?
Yep.
Does it matter what I call you, Matt?
Yes. Don't call me Adam.
Look here. Common sense names are important. There's laws written about names. If you don't think so, go start a restaurant and call McDonald's. And you see what happens. Yahweh says, this is my name forever. This is the memorial unto all generations. Did you ever know that? I never heard anything like this before I came out in the class. Because all I thought was Lord God and Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's get the Exodus 20 and 7. Has anyone raised in any religious upbringing, they know about the Ten Commandments. Right? Read.
Exodus 20 and 7. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, thy Elohim, in vain.
Now, if you look up the word vain, what does it mean?
Useless.
You got it, Jen?
The word vain, I'm reading from Webster Dictionary, and the original definition, original meaning, means empty, void. First definition is empty, devoid of real value, useless or worthless.
That'd be a law of worthless.
In other words, don't take my name. Don't make my name useless. Don't make my name worthless. He made one of the big ten. To Israel, don't take my name in vain. In other words, don't make it useless. Don't make it worthless. He didn't say don't say the word God in conjunction with damn. First of all, God's not a name.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have the authority to make him do what you want to do anyway. But really, the commandment's about making his name useless and worthless. It goes right along with this is my name forever. If it's his name forever, don't make it useless. If it's a memorial unto the generations, don't make it worthless. He didn't break a train of thought here. The name is lost. Psalm 72:17. I don't care what your excuse is, you don't have a good one. When it comes to Yahweh's ways and your ways. The bottom line is, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Read it. Psalm 72:17. His name shall endure forever.
His name shall endure forever. It's the same thing. This is my name forever. It shall endure forever. Read.
His name shall be continued as long as the sun.
It shall endure forever. It shall continue as long as the sun. Is the sun still shining in the sky? His name is still Yahweh. And if his name is lost, do you think Yahweh forgot his name?
No.
The Creator has divine amnesia and he forgot. The name Yahweh appears in your Bible over 6,000 times. Is that right? They say the name is lost and all this kind of stuff. Well, my question is, if they don't know what the name Yahweh is, how do they know what all the other words are? They have no problem with all the words in the Bible. When it comes to Yahweh's name, it's lost. Give me a break. That's man's thoughts. That's coming from the people with the letters behind their names. Continued as long as the sun. Your Hebrew name. Abraham was a Hebrew. He was a Hebrew. But his lineage follows all the way back to, if you look in the Strong's under Hebrew, comes from Eber, which is the line that are the Hebrews. And you'll see in Scripture it says that Abraham the Hebrew. His name was Yahweh before Abraham was. If your name is Greg, hey, what's your name? Has your name just started to be Greg? Your name was always Greg? Maybe I didn't know that, but it always was Greg. Scripture in the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise Yahweh, right? Adam breathed in the breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul. Did you ever listen to the way you breathe? You breathe. Abraham was breathing. Mankind was breathing his name since they started to have breath. Before he gave it to man. Let everything that has breath breathe out. Because everything that breathes, breathes. My God doesn't breathe that way. He breathes like... He breathes Yahweh faster, that's all. Jeremiah, I think it's... the way it's for his name. Remember, 23, 20... What's that? 23, 25-ish, somewhere around there. The only reason they say it's the old Hebrew name because the Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So they say it, well, God and Lord are English. No! Did anyone ever go to another country? You just went to Italy. Did they change your name before they leave? Yeah.
No.
They can't! You are Stephen Yeezy. Whether you're in the U.S. or Italy. That's why when they have a new president in Russia, we learn how to say his name and the way he would pronounce it in Russian or Chinese and so forth. Same thing with other countries. You'll hear blah, 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 Clinton. Or Trump. Whoever the president will be. You won't understand a word, all of a sudden hear the name. Because they don't. It's your name wherever you go. His name is Yahweh. Okay, go ahead and read.
Jeremiah 31, verse 35.
Okay. Your brain just kind of pulls, you know, you're up here. Go ahead.
Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar, Yahweh a host is
Did you ever
name.
Listen to the waves? They go...
Right.
Bird fly. And all of a sudden Yahweh gives his name. The name won't judge Yahweh. He signed his creation. The name means he who gives breath. He's been given breath since it started. Psalms 148. All I'm trying to do is show you the difference between what Yahweh thinks and maybe what some man thinks. And also want you to understand that these names are not a concept of a man. He didn't say, Moses, since we've been talking here at the bush, what are you going to call me? That man could take credit for it. But that ain't the case. Go ahead.
Number one?
Yeah.
Psalms 148:1. Praise ye Yahweh. Praise ye Yahweh from the heavens.
Praise ye Yahweh from the heavens. Read.
Praise him in the heights.
In the heights. Read.
Praise ye him, all his angels.
The angels praise his name. Read.
Praise ye him, all his hosts.
Hosts praise his name. Praise his name. Read.
Praise ye him, sun and moon.
Sun and moon. Read.
Praise him, all ye stars of light.
Stars of light. Read.
Praise him, ye heavens of heavens.
Mm-hmm. Read.
And ye waters that be above the heavens.
Read.
Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded and they were created.
Read.
He hath also established them forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
He hath made a decree which shall not pass.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Praise Yahweh from the earth.
Praise him from the earth. Read.
Ye dragons and all.
Dragons!
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
And beasts. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mm-hmm.
Mountains and all hills.
He's talking about his creation. Are praising his name. They're roaring his name. He signed his creation. Read.
Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth.
Kings! Kings, plural. Kings of the earth. Read.
And all people.
All people.
Princes and
all people. Princes.
And all judges of the earth.
Judges. I don't care if you're a judge. You should be praising Yahweh.
Right.
I don't care if you're a king. You should be praising Yahweh.
Right.
When Yahweh destroyed Pharaoh. In Exodus 9:16, he said, "Very deed for this cause have I raised thee up to be Pharaoh," right?
Mm-hmm.
"To showing thee my power, and that my name might be declared to all the earth."
Right.
When he devastated Egypt, the whole world heard about this Yahweh. His name became famous. And that's the whole reason he did it. Look, now, the name Yahshua means that Yahweh is salvation. Now I want another name under heaven given among men.
Acts.
Yeah. I can't remember those facts. Normally, if you ask me, I'll tell you where everything is.
Yeah.
It works that way.
You should sit down.
It happens more when you get older.
Yeah.
It really does. But anyway, go ahead and read that for me. Where they healed the man.
Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple.
Drop down the...
Verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee."
Okay, and they put him in jail for this.
Yeah.
And when they quizzed him afterward on the next day, what did get to that point?
Acts 4.
On the minus 5.
No, we got to drop down.
Okay. I'll start at verse 8. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yahshua the Messiah..."
By the name of Yahshua the Messiah, that name that was divinely revealed to man through a vision. Read.
"Whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before
mm-hmm.
you whole."
Read.
Verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven.
There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can you see the train of thought is not changing?
Yes.
Yahweh had never thought it was okay to call him something other than what he was. Never. And Yahweh had given him a name which is above every name, that has the name of Yahshua. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You might think you're not bowing, but every knee shall bow. It's better to bow now than to bow later.
Right.
Bowing later would not be a good bowing.
Correct.
But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, he knows. John 17:3. We'll get this in closing. Look, we got 30 minutes. We'll tell you the best we can to try to make our point clear and strong. We believe in the name Yahshua. It was divinely revealed to man. It's the truth. We use those names down here. You're going to hear us because Yahweh, Elohim, and Yahshua.
John 17:3. And this is life eternal.
Uh-huh.
That they might know thee, the only true
Elohim. And your eternal life, according to your Creator, is that you know Him. Not that He knows who you're talking to. Yes, He does know who you're talking to. The problem is, you don't know who you're talking to. Because your ways are not His ways, and your thoughts are not His thoughts. Life eternal is that you know Him and Yahshua Messiah. And the first aim of this school, the very first aim of this school, is to help you find and know Yahweh, our Elohim, as He really is and actually exists. And that's what this teaching is for. We're not mad at anybody. We just want you to know the truth. And we want you to know how Yahweh feels about it. Because what we're teaching down here is every piece of it is a product of a divine vision revelation. And we will, if you give us the time, we will take the time to prove it until you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of time, and I'll sit down.
And I need to jump in a swimming pool or something.
It's hot. Thank you very much. I love you all. God, so many beautiful faces. It's going to be a lot of fun, hopefully. And I'll give this time. Thanks.
Catholic Church. Now, we didn't get to read the Bible. We got the Bible told to us.
Right?
Yep.
Then it became the priest's opinion on what the scriptures were. But to give you a very quick rundown, and you're going to have to do your investigation on your own, see, because we implore you not to believe whatever is being said on the floor. We want you to take those words, we want you to examine those things, and we want you to do this research, and because you have questions of your own on who your Creator is and how He actually operates. See? Now, I ran around here thinking that the Pope was all that and this, that, and the other. I was an altar boy, and I had my whisper and plenty of wine. That's not how you know your Creator. And, you know, you had the priest out there that mediated for you, not realizing that the Savior, Yahshua himself, is your mediator between your Creator and you. Not a priest. So, I ran all that to say this. Give me John 4:24.
John 4:24.
Read.
Yahweh is spirit.
I say Yahweh is spirit. Now here you are on the earth plane, you can't detect spirit with your senses. See? But there is a way that the Creator communicates. See, I want to also hold that I believe it's Numbers 12:6. I believe that's what it is. Where he will communicate with the prophet, you know.
Make himself known.
There you go. What's that again? Make himself what?
No.
Oh, eternal life is to know. Okay, very good. So, I want you to hold that scripture, but go ahead and get what I asked for in that John 4:24, please. Now, Yahweh is spirit. Now, it says in your Bible, God is a spirit. But Yahweh is spirit, see? And they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit.
In spirit. Now, you got your spirit, spiritualist people out there that want a spirit. Understand? But it says spirit and in what? That means you could be in the spirit and be alive. But Yahweh says spirit and in truth. Now how are you going to understand this universal source and substance? That you can't feel, taste, touch, smell, see. You can't see any of it with your natural senses. But see, as the previous speaker brought up, see, in this class, we've been told and we've been trained. Begin with? And now, see. Now, I'm going to focus on the fourth verse of the Psalms 19:4, where it says there's a tabernacle given to the what? Son. See? So, finish what I asked for. Give me that in Numbers 12:6, and then I believe where he will make himself known. And then by this tabernacle pattern, see, which happens to be the definition of this, boy, we're getting into something deep now. Getting into something what? This word or son. So we're gonna have to do the unity of the spirit. We've got a lot of things to do. Go ahead, I only got 30 minutes, so let's go. Numbers 12:6.
And he said,
now see, there was an argument between Aaron and Miriam, you understand, and this, that, and the other, but Yahweh appeared unto them and said, what again?
And he said, hear now my word.
Now, this is who's speaking?
Yahweh.
Yahweh is speaking. Now, this is Yahweh's spirit now. But he's going to make himself known. Now, how is he going to do that? Read.
If there be a prophet among you.
If there be a prophet among you.
I, Yahweh,
whose spirit?
Will make myself known unto him.
I will make myself known unto him. Read.
In a vision.
In a what?
A vision.
Vision.
And will speak unto him.
And will speak unto him in a what?
In a dream.
In a dream. So now we're dealing with something that's not physical. We're dealing with something that's what? Spiritual. Now I got to do this real bad. I don't got time, and the next speaker will probably get into this, and it will get into this entire weekend. But we want you, as a first-time visitor, to understand. My point is this tabernacle is extremely, critically important. This tabernacle, 3,500 years ago that was done, that the children of Israel had to build, you understand what I'm saying? This was a definition of who this is. You understand?
Now we're going to do this real quick. John 1 and 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, the same way in the beginning, with Yahweh. See, all things were made by Him and without Him. There you go. See, without Him, you couldn't be here. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him is life, and that life was the what? Light of man. See, and then the 14th verse said, and the Word was made what? Flesh, you understand? And He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the only glory that is begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. But to understand all this, you've got to go all the way back here. See, here, so I'm going to do this real fast. I'm sorry. After the children took up that Paschal lamb, you understand, they put the blood on the four points of the door, and they had to eat this Passover meal in what? Haste. You understand what I'm saying? And they had to come to and through the Red Sea in a three-day journey. You understand what I'm saying? And they came up out here in the wilderness. And then 50 days later, they came unto Mount Sinai, where Yahweh spoke His what? Law unto the children of Israel. You understand what I'm saying? And then after that, on the second trip, which I'm going to concentrate on this second trip, give me Exodus 24, 9 and 10. Then went up what? Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, and they saw the what? Elohim of Israel. As it were, the paved work of a sapphire stone, as the body of what? In His clearness. Also, they saw Elohim and did eat and drink. People do the vision. Did I just quote all that?
Yeah.
Remember, we want you to also know that this is not a Bible quoting contest.
Right.
You need to learn who your Savior is. Because the point I'm trying to get you to understand is that He gave this tabernacle pattern to Moses up here on his second trip. You understand what I'm saying? And it is the same thing that when the Creator caught up Dr. Henry Clifford Kennedy, He brought him up on that same trip. And beginning at what? Moses. You understand what I'm saying? And then they saw the Elohim of what? Israel. You understand? And He took this and brought it all the way down to the children of Israel. And they had to build this what? Tabernacle pattern, which is made of a what? Most holy place, court round about. Just like your Creator is threefold. Yahweh, Elohim, what? Yahshua the Messiah. Why is this threefold so important? Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which may be what? Known of Yahweh is manifest in them. For Yahweh has shown it unto them. For the invisible thing
of
Him. From the creation of the what? World. Are clearly what?
Seen.
You understand? Even His eternal power. And so so that they are without excuse. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in class, and it doesn't matter if you're a first-time visitor. Before Yahweh, you have no excuse. Let me ask this question before I get to this tabernacle real quick. How many times have you seen the sun rise and the sun set? Exemplify the death, the burial, and the resurrection. How many times have you breathed in your lifetime? And you still think He's alive? You still think He's died? You still think your priest is all that? You still think the Pope is it? You still think Trump is your life? You still think whatever you think, but you're still doing? I'm just asking a question. How many times have you gone to bed in your lifetime since you were an infant? And you went to sleep even though you fought it? You were buried in your covers. And then somehow the next day, you got up. How many times have you done it? You see the witnesses are against you. You're so stubborn and don't want to give it up. Oh, you want to give it up? As the previous speaker said, it's better to buy down now than later. And see, this is something that you witness. You can't deny you can't. You don't go to sleep. Can you? You don't deny you're covering yourself, don't you?
and you don't deny that, you take off the covenant. That's the death, burial, resurrection. I'm supposed to be on this panel, but I guess I'm being led to the gospel, which is still in the past.
Right? Because it's a death, a burial, and a what?
Resurrection. That's how simple this teaching is, if you're willing to listen to the evidence and the proof. How many times have no car sat there in the garage? Didn't move, right? Sounds like a death to me. And it's buried until you put the key in the ignition and turn it on. That sounds like a resurrection to me. How many times that you had to eat for breakfast, lunch, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Oh, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three meals a day? Why three meals? Because the pattern dictates a most holy place, a holy place, and a full roundabout. Because it's Yahweh, Elohim, and Yahshua the Messiah. How many times have you done that? How many times that you didn't have a job? Sounds like a different name. You go looking for one. You buried it, you build. And all of a sudden, someone calls you up. You hired? Then you go to work, it's another death. And you're buried in all your work, and all you do is look at the clock. Five. I wonder why it's five. How many times? You're going to sit here and be stubborn and say, oh no, I'm keeping my Lord God. You go ahead. But you can do a death, burial, and resurrection. Whether you like it or not. Get into a relationship. You get to know your partner.
That's right.
That's a natural type of child. For eternal life is to know your creator. That's your real partner. Oh, I'm getting old. You know what I'm saying? You take the natural to understand the what? The spiritual. You get it? This is why this pattern is so important, because within the pattern is a death, which would represent the ultimate burial, which is in the walk, and the spirit was that cup of anointing, which allows you, that's right, which allows you to get into the what? Holy place through the door. To get into the door. I stand at the door. And what? Wake up. You see that? You want to know why this thing is so important to your soul? Because this creation is going to go over. It's going to be done with. Just like you know when you get old, you start feeling all the crickets and the this and the you. My goodness, and my head, and my goodness. See, I'm getting gray hair, I'm losing my teeth. I know I'm getting old, I don't know what's happening. You understand? I got to leave this body. Do you have the definition of the word tabernacle? I got to do this quick, I don't got time. Look, let me do this again. And they saw the Elohim was there. Then he was commissioned to build this tabernacle. How long did it take to build that tabernacle?
40 weeks.
40 weeks or what? 9 months. Oh, wait a minute. Let's use another natural. Ladies. You get happy with your significant other. Then all of a sudden you get that down. What? See this? Conception, right? Then it takes 9 months or 40 weeks to have a child. Ain't that right? Then all of a sudden, the first thing, when it's time for labor, the first thing that shows is what?
Blood.
Oh, blood. And then, ladies, the water what? And then, parents, you're listening for that specific thing that you can get. And you just smile and have tears of what? Joy. Because your child is alive. Yeah. Burial, resurrection. And you have your offspring. Because that's your offspring. And I'll be anybody else's offspring. I'm just saying, let's be your offspring. Y'all better understand this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. Make sure you have your offspring. Do you understand what being said to you? You are surrounded by death, burial, resurrection. Blood, water, spirit, fortitude. There's no way around it. If anybody tells you to get off of blood, water, spirit, fortitude, you better scratch your head and say, what's in your body? Oh, blood. Your body is made up of how much water?
70%.
And wait a minute, it's not the air that animates you. There's plenty of dead bodies that have air in it. But it's the spirit that animates the life.
You understand what I'm saying?
Blood, water, spirit. Death, burial, resurrection. You're surrounded by it. You in it. Your own body testifies. Testifies to the fact that in this pattern, it is nothing but blood, water, spirit. Now, it took 9 months to build. You understand? And then in the 40th chapter of Exodus, when you get to 40:33, and when Moses finished the work and reared up the walls, you understand what I'm saying? And then the cloud, what? Covered it. And the glory, what, of Yahweh, what? Filled it. You understand what I'm saying? Look up tabernacle when you get home. I don't want you doing it now. We don't got time. I'm telling you right now. Tabernacle, just for the sake of getting to the older dictionaries, it means a temporary abode for the what? Soul. So people, this ain't it. And you are walking tabernacle. And you didn't know. Don't worry. I didn't know either. But eternal life is to know. Because see, once you leave this physical body, guess what? That's right. You get to face him. That's right. You get to face him. You have no excuse. My job was so important. No worries. My woman was out there. No shit. I'm going to see my grandma on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know who he is, and how he operates in your tabernacle. Because there were priests that operated in the tabernacle. That typified Joshua the Messiah that's supposed to operate in your tabernacle. Not some other being. You hear my point? You have to know who he is before this creation goes out. You have to know who he is. We pray that you take the time to know who he is for yourself. Because see, the whole point is for you to depend on him. That's the point. If you depend on your job and you get the pink slip next day, what happens? You start to cry.
Whoa, oh God, I lost my job.
God ain't my name. Or you broke up with your significant other.
He was my life.
That's not true because he wasn't there when you were born. And he may not be there with you, but your creator's there. You see my point? And you're walking tabernacle. Something has to be there to help you operate on a daily basis. Yahweh put the breath of life in you. You heard what the previous speaker said.
So depend on him and call him by his right name. You understand? What's your name, young lady?
Heather.
Heather? You sure that's right, Emily? No. Audrey? What happens if you go to the bank and you sign a check? Emily, what the bank gonna tell you?
Not me.
Right. You ain't skipping. You ain't getting any money that you go for. I'm trying to get as basic as I can for you to understand that it's that important to know who your creator is, because your true bank is your creator. Change. So I ain't taking silver and gold with you. But the knowledge and the understanding that he gives you. Give me John 14:26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in. Read, because I'm quoting.
But the Comforter, which is the
Wait a minute, hold it. You said Comforter. You need some comfort? You sure?
Yeah.
You been dealing with all the stuff that's happening on this earth plane right now? Okay, good.
That would give you the comfort. At least you admit it. Okay? You need to be comforted. What happens if there's nobody you can call on? Ring, ring, hey, Patrick. Who are you going to depend on?
Who are you going to depend on? Who are you going to depend on?
My daddy is always there. What if your daddy dies? Now what? You see what I'm saying? What I am trying to get you to understand that in your tabernacle, your Creator is sitting right there. And he said, you better come to class. Come to class. Learn something. So that when you go on the other side, you'll be one of those people that are not going to not know. You see? Because if you don't have eternal life, what's the other side of life?
Yeah.
And it's eternal. So, for anyone that, for even for me,
Patrick, you too.
Just because I'm running my mouth right now, that I'm being led to go death, burial, resurrection, blood, water, spirit, boy. You understand? It's in this tabernacle. And you're walking around. You rang the bell. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because see, when you leave this classroom, what you going to do? I'm going to get something to eat. If something has to die in order for you to eat. Doesn't it have to be buried? Sooner or later, you go to the bathroom. Ain't that right? You do this every day! And if you don't do it, that's called constipation. That's called the hospital. Yes. That's called extraction. You don't want to go there. You understand? I think you get the point. I hope the first time you listen to this, I hope the point gets home so that you can, do I do that on a daily basis? And who makes me do that on a daily basis? Who makes me do that? You know how some people stay up for 20 hours and think, I can stay up. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, really, sooner or later, your body goes, well, that's try to hold your breath and see. I don't want to breathe, okay? Hold your breath. Running boots. I guess you gotta exhale, right? I'm sporting. I'm gonna keep what I got. I don't want to turn it off. Okay. Now let me bring the point home. Breathe, Lord. Breathe, God. If these names are this important to you, breathe it. Breathe Jesus Christ. I love that. Now, you see how asthmatic that sounds? Do that for 24 hours. You end up in the hospital. And we have to give you some medicine. Ain't that right? I'm trying to make it simple, people, so that it's universal. I don't care if you're Russian, Chinese, Japanese, you still. And guess what? No tabernacle has blood, no tabernacle has water, and spirit has it. When you die, why do you say he or she is gone? What's gone? This teaching is that simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. You don't need a doctorate. But for those that have been in the religious schools, you know, that sounds a lot of D's for me. I need an R. It's called a resurrection. Because your DDD, you don't mean nothing to me. But me knowing my Creator means everything. And if you're seeking the truth, you need to know who
he is and how he operates in your tabernacle. Now, I did not do a fantastic job in going through the tabernacle like I was supposed to, but I was letting go this way. You make it that simple. 1, 2, 3. Death, burial, resurrection, blood, water, spirit, for you. And when you see enough witnesses, and there's plenty of witnesses, we even talked about some today. You can't deny those. Try. I ain't falling asleep. Yeah, go for it. You understand? People. And there's more speakers that will be up here too. You have a better way of explaining it to me, but I just let you just keep it that simple. Even during the law, the testimony and fulfillment. 1, 2, 3. And when he finally opens your heart and mind, there he is. He will submit you. And he will show you things that are so incredible that you will have to bow and say, yeah, that's you, Father. And that's why you say, why do all these churches and people say hallelujah for? Hallelujah. Oh, see, there goes that bell. Hallelujah. So guess what? I have to shut up now. But you know what? Hallelujah.
Our next speaker is from New York, Dr. Carmen Warren. Deuteronomy 6:4. And you can get Zechariah
Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
Okay, that's good. I just mainly wanted that he was in Unity 1. And Zechariah?
Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name be one.
It says that his name will be one. Well, for you new people, when I know when I first came into class, there was Elohim, there was Yahweh, Yahshua, so name one. When you have Yahweh in pure spirit state, and someone already read John 1 and 1, or quoted it, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. In math, you have A equals B, B equals A. Those two are exactly the same. He came in, came down in a super incorporeal form, in a vision, so that he could communicate with his creation. He had a purpose in this state to create a creation. He came forth to be fruitful. And you see in this chart that he came down alone and by himself. But in the end, he is going back being fruitful and multiplying. And that's exactly what he was showing forth here. He was being fruitful physically so. When Yahshua comes in, he's going to be fruitful spiritually so. But we're going to talk about this name when it says one name. When he's in pure spirit state, he's Yahweh. He comes in a... He's known as Yahweh Elohim. Elohim, look it up in a dictionary. Let's get Elohim in the dictionary. It's still Yahweh. This is his title. He's just in a different state of existence, manifesting a different purpose.
Elohim, from the Webster Dictionary, it picks up that it's plural, God or gods, a term used in Hebrew scriptures.
So it's plural. Let's get Genesis, the first chapter, 26, maybe? 26 and 27?
Genesis 1, 26. And Elohim said, let
this
us make
Elohim.
Man.
Yahweh Elohim said,
let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them.
Okay, so we just found out that Elohim means plural. He is male and female within himself. In order to be productive or to have offspring, you have to have a male and female come together. So Yahweh Elohim had to be male and female within himself. When he created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into him and made him a living soul. But he caused Adam to go into a deep sleep, and he took Eve
out of Adam. So Adam was male and female right within himself. He did create man in his likeness, starting off the creation. So we have Yahweh Elohim, and that was his purpose, to be fruitful and multiply, and to also come in visions. It says, and the word came unto Jeremiah, and the word came unto Samuel. It wasn't the book like we thought in the churches. This is the word of God. The word of God is what we were always told. These are words divinely inspired. And Yahweh Elohim had a purpose to talk to the people at that time. That word came unto Jeremiah so that he could write in the book the words of Yahweh. We want to know what it is that thus saith Yahweh. We don't want to know what we say. That's why the other speaker said, go look up these things for yourself. Check it out. This is known as the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research. An institute is a school. Divine, it's beyond the physical. Metaphysical, beyond the physical. And it's a research organization. So we want you to check these things out. Don't believe what comes off the floor. Don't believe us like we did with the priests and our pastors and all those things. Because we want you to know it for yourself. We're trying to give you cogent witnesses. We try to prove it out of dictionaries, encyclopedias. We have people go in the Bible, go into other books as well, so you can get definitions of things. When Yahweh Elohim came into this physical body, in verse 14 in John 1 and 14, he's known as Yahshua. But since Yahweh is male and female, Yah is the masculine form of Yahweh, and Weh is the feminine form. So when he comes in, he's coming in. Is this still working?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let me turn your head.
Okay. He's coming in as a male. Says, let's get Matthew 1:21. And this is the angel Gabriel that goes to Joseph. Mary is with child, and he is giving him a name to name this baby that Mary is pregnant with.
Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahshua, for he shall save his people from their sins.
So this name was given to Joseph. They didn't have ultrasounds at that time, and yet he's saying, it's a male child, you're going to name it Yahshua. The parents were able to name the child because this was the Holy Spirit that was placed in Mary's womb. It wasn't the same way that a child is birthed. A child conceives in the fallopian tube. This was conceived right in the womb. And it had nothing to do with Mary and nothing to do with Joseph. But this name was Yahshua. And it's Yahweh Shua. Yah being from the masculine part of Yahweh. It's still Yahweh when it talked about in Zechariah, one name. You can get, let's get it. John 10 and 30. And when I'm in the Gates class, I always use Don Smith back there as an example. Don's father is Don Smith as well. But Don can never say this as the truth. Go ahead.
John 10, 30. I and my father are one.
I and my father are one. Now, Don Smith's father has the same exact name, but Don is also a product of his mother, so he can't say, I and my father are one. But the Messiah can say, I and my father are one, because this spirit came down and put on a physical body and walked the earth plane for a purpose. And we just read that purpose in Matthew 1 and 26. And there was a colon after his name. And this colon, when you learned it in English class, meant that whatever followed listed or defined what preceded it, or it was a list of describing what happened prior to that. So, Yahshua, he had a purpose, and it was an
couched right within his name that he would save his people from their sins. That was his purpose. Also, he was fruitful and multiplied when he went through his death, his burial, just like Patrick was talking about death, burial, resurrection. His death, burial, and resurrection when he went and poured out his Holy Spirit. We were seeing a death, burial, and resurrection with the law and the prophets in Isaiah 20 and 8.
Isaiah 20, verse 8.
You want to read 20?
Oh, 8:20. I'm sorry. I get dyslexic from up here.
Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
So to the law and to the testimony. And we always go back to the law and to the testimony. And he even talks about this in Luke. Go to Luke 24, 27. Because he always wants us to start at Moses and go to the law and the testimony. And it talks about there's no light or there's no truth in them. Because the law and the testimony are pointing out our Messiah, Yahshua. And that's what we want to see. And what was happening in the law and the prophet all the way through, like with Noah, there was salvation here in the ark. So there was a death, a burial, a resurrection. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a death when they were put into that fiery furnace. They were buried in it, resurrected out of there. You were seeing death, burial, resurrection. Or Yahweh is salvation all the way through. Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Even with the tabernacle pattern, he knew that they could not keep the law that was given to them. And this law for this new person that's here, I know in the Catholic Church, we had a lot of these ceremonies that we had to do, all these crazy laws, keeping the Ten Commandments. We were always guilty. We were always going to confession. But Yahweh, and this was only given to the Jews, so we didn't even have to do it without knowing that we were doing something that we didn't even have to do. But he gave them a way out. Because if they sinned, they would be stoned, and they would die physically so. So what he gave them was this tabernacle so that they could bring a sacrifice that would be offered up on this altar for them. It would save them physically so. So so they would live physically so, yes. But this was the way of seeing Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh often set this up so that they would live. But what everyone was talking about with John 17 and 3, read that again.
I want to point to something while you're reading it.
John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee.
They might know thee, Yahweh, in pure spirit's sake. Our only,
the only true Elohim, and Yahshua the Messiah.
And Yahshua the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. So in order to know them, you would have to know something about how they exist. Mm-hmm. And last night I talked about water. And since there's a new person, I will do it again. Water is made of H2O, which is two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. And it exists in three different states. In vapor, or a gaseous state, in a liquid state, and in a solid state. In the gaseous state, it's in the air. There is none of your senses that can detect it. And I know, and I explained this in Chicago. I taught kids class when I used to go to the Rochester class. We are now in Syracuse. But when I was in kids class, and I taught them, I had a little burner, and we put a teapot on there, and we would wait for the water to boil, and the kids could see actually a cloud coming out as the water would evaporate. So we could talk about Yahweh being in pure spirit state. And the water, I asked them, can you see it now once it went into the air? Can you touch it? Can you taste it? Can you hear it? Can you smell it? So they would understand that none of their senses could perceive him in this state of existence. And then we would take water, the liquid state that we all know that's in this bottle, and they would pour it into different containers. So they could see that it would take on the shape and form of the container. So when he came in this anthropomorphic shape, and being that you find in, let's get Exodus the 24th chapter again, that he was in this shape and form, and if they put liquid in their hand, it would just go right out. It's a ghostly kind of thing. So they can understand that in the liquid state, H2O is just like Yahweh Elohim. And a first-time visitor can understand this too by looking at this. Go ahead. Exodus 24, started at maybe 9.
Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel.
And it's pictured right on this chart. Here's Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, and they went up on this mountain. Moses was the only one who went to the top of the mountain and actually communed with Yahweh Elohim.
And they saw the Elohim of Israel.
And they saw the Elohim of Israel. This was a visionary, or a vision to them. Go ahead.
And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone.
So there was under his feet a sapphire stone. This is actually earth. Because if you listen to some of the news of when the people went up on the moon and the Apollo and everything else, they talked about how earth looked like a sapphire stone. So he is standing on earth. And it talks about he has feet.
And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness.
And this is a body of heaven in its clearness. And isn't water clear? Just runs through you. Go ahead.
And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he raised not his hand.
So what I'm trying to get with this is, you're seeing a body. It talks about he has a body, feet, hands. He was made, the reason he is in this shape and form is because he made us in this shape and form. So you can look at the physical to see something about the spiritual, just like you can look at liquid to understand how Yahweh Elohim exists. Now when we get solid, we can see Yahshua. When you have someone who's in the physical, you can walk up to them and shake their hand. He's solid. When you get an ice cube, you can hold the ice cube. The kids passed around the ice cubes. They understood it was solid. But when it gets to 33 degrees, it goes back to liquid. Just like Yahshua was on the cross when he was 33 years old. He had to go back into the Spirit, but go back to the Father. So this was something pretty for them to really see and understand, and it's basic. And it's all H2O, whether it's in this state, vapor, liquid, or solid. And the nice thing about H2O is it's in all these different states of existence at all times. Now, the other thing that's pretty is his attributes. And this is the stuff he is. So let's get this stuff and talk about it being what spirit is made up of. Because we know H2O is water. It's in H2O in this state, in this state, and in this state. It's always two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. The molecules just change. They slow down or speed up, depending on which state they're in. Mm-hmm. We want to know about Yahweh Elohim. Yahshua and Yahweh. I'm going to put Yahweh Shua again. And Yahshua. But before I do that, did I get John 5:43? Okay. Let's do that.
John chapter 5 at verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
Okay, so this is the Messiah speaking?
Yes.
said, I come in my Father's name. Right? Let another come in his own name. Most of the world has received this name. Him you will receive. Right? So we're going to show you how this really is a unity. And in John 10 and 30, he said, I and my Father are one. Also, if you get First John 5 and 7, let's get that. Could you get Essence for First John, please?
First John chapter 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And these three are one.
And these three are one. They're one spirit. Just like this is one H2O, same stuff. We're going to find out what this stuff is made out of. Exodus 31st chapter, when Moses was up on the mount, he was given this tabernacle pattern, and he was told to go down and make it exactly the same way that he saw it. And he assigned some builders. And these builders could have made it fine. They were master builders. But something had to happen in order for them to be able to construct this tabernacle perfectly. And let's see what that is.
Exodus 31:3. And I have filled them with the spirit of Elohim, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge.
Is that Yahweh or
Elohim?
So, they filled Yahweh Elohim in, they filled Bezaleel with his spirit. And his spirit is made up of, wisdom.
Understanding. Knowledge. All manner of workmanship.
Knowledge. And you see on this chart, he's wisdom, intelligence, knowledge, love, beauty, justice, foundation, power, and strength.
Right.
These are his attributes,
right,
or the stuff that Yahweh's made of. Mm-hmm. So that had to be placed in those people so this would be made perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Plus it had to be his work,
mm-hmm,
not their work.
Mm-hmm.
It was Yahweh's work. So if Yahweh was making this tabernacle and making it perfectly. Now let's go to Isaiah 11. And this is going to be the spirit of Yahweh.
Isaiah 11 and then at verse 2. The spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh.
Okay. So Yahweh is wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Yahweh Elohim is wisdom, understanding, knowledge. It's the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do this in kids' class. They used to be the same stuff. Just like this is H2O. It didn't change. It's the same H2O, H2O, H2O. In this state of existence is pure spirit. He is wisdom, knowledge, intelligence. Same stuff. Yahweh Elohim. Go to Luke, the second chapter, please, and pick up at 40. I heard the bell, so hopefully I get through to this, and then I can sit down and not be nervous anymore. I'm still shaking my hand raised. 2 and 40, yes.
Luke 2 and 40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom.
Now this child is when Joshua was a young lad, and he was growing in the spirit, is what they're saying. And he was what?
Filled with wisdom.
Wisdom. Seen something similar? Don't tell me they're a trinity. Go ahead.
And the grace of Elohim was upon him.
Okay. Verse 47, let's go.
47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding.
Now he is talking to the leaders of that time. The Pharisees and all the people who thought they were the most educated in the scriptures.
And he had, go ahead.
And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Okay, so he understood his understanding. And in order for him to answer any of those questions, his answers, he had to have some knowledge. So all of this stuff that spirit is made out of gives you an understanding that this can't be a trinity. It's all the same stuff. He just came in a different state of existence for a different purpose. This was to save them physically, so to create the creation to be fruitful physically, to speak with the prophets, to show himself in visions, all of those things that you'll read about in your book in the Law of the Prophets. But when he came in the flesh, he had to fulfill the Law and the Prophets. He had to fulfill this and take it out of the way to bring in a new covenant, which is a spiritual covenant.
I'm there.
Sorry, this is the old covenant that was given to the Jews and the Jews only, that we were trying to do some of these things. We had ceremonies, we had our baptisms, we went to church and there were suppers. Of course, we had sacrifices. We didn't bring lambs to church anymore. We were bringing our money. But it says here it was temporary. It wasn't set up to be permanent. When Yahshua came in, he took this all out of the way. It says in Galatians that he was made of a woman, made under the law. Why? So he could do all those things and show forth that he could fulfill it. No one else was righteous enough to do any of those things and fulfill it. And then he poured out his Holy Spirit and brought in a new covenant that was a spiritual covenant that we're in right now. And you can see right now we are in the present kingdom age. And it's after the cross. So he poured out his Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost. And this is Pentecost to this day. He's still pouring out his Holy Spirit. And it says present, which means it's a gift. Like we talked about, it's grace. It's his present to you. Sitting in that chair that you're getting his Holy Spirit. It's grace. It's nothing you did. Unmerited favor. There's nothing you did to merit this.
That's right.
But for the new person, just keep coming to class because this is where salvation is. Yahshua is speaking to you. This was a divine invitation to you. It wasn't like someone invited you. Yeah, maybe somebody did. But that wasn't who really brought you in here. It was Yahshua bringing you in. If you're one of his, he will put his Holy Spirit in you, and you will get an understanding. It's Spirit speaking to Spirit here. It's not us teaching you. And I'm very happy to be here. I'll praise you to Yahshua. Thank you for the time. Hallelujah.
Can you stand up? Because this is an example. This is a show and tell. Oh my God. That's so cool. how that baton was passed. So I want to keep doing the same thing. But the gospel has been preached, and let's just get it out of the Bible so the visitor can see that it's in there, what we've been preaching. Let's get Corinthians 15. Let's just start there.
Corinthians 15, apologies.
Yes.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
So this is the Apostle Paul. He is declaring the gospel. And that's what's happening tonight. The gospel has been declared again to us. So we're thankful and we're blessed to be here.
Yeah.
We don't want to take it for granted because you know what? We've been sitting around here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The blood, water, spirit tasted so good tonight to hear that. It was delicious.
Right.
Keep reading.
To you.
It was preached unto us. Read.
Also you have received.
Praise Yahshua that we have received his truth.
Right, right.
Because you know what? We have so many brethren. We have so many individuals that we have sat in these classes with all these years. But the truth wasn't in them.
Right.
Right.
It's just the way that it is. But Yahshua, Yahweh said, if you don't love his truth, he was going to send you a strong delusion.
Right.
Now with the Creator, he has two mysteries in operation. He has a mystery of righteousness, and he has a mystery of unrighteousness. And honestly, y'all, we don't have to write you a letter to tell you the state and condition of the world.
Right.
The world is gone to hell and in the handbasket.
Right.
But you know what? Yahshua is saving his son.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Now I had 1 Corinthians. So we need to finish it. But if we can have on standby Revelations, the 12th chapter. Because some people say, oh, y'all believe. So y'all the only ones with the truth. Well, how do we get Lord God and Jesus Christ? People have those questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have it. There is a devil. People don't like to talk about it, but there is a devil. So let's finish the gospel that was preached, and we received it tonight, and we are standing in the gospel.
Yeah.
Why? Because it can save, it will save your soul. Now, if it worked, if he came on the scene and was talking about this years ago, and if it worked for them back then, it stopped for us now. If it was the gospel, you got to read it.
Verse 2, by which also you are saved.
Yes.
If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received.
Right.
How that Yahshua died for our sins.
And we want to deliver what we perceive. We don't want to deliver what people say. We don't want to repeat anything.
Right.
We want to deliver what Yahshua has given us. And that's all I can do to you guys. I'm not here to impress you. I'm just giving you the little baby testimony that Yahshua has given me that I'm standing in. Because it's life eternal to my soul. Because guess what? When we leave here, I'm going to get some food. Because I am so hungry. I am. And you know what? That food is going to be very... Man, we gotta finish. Yahshua died. He didn't die just for the people who... He died for the world. He died for all mankind. But guess what? All mankind is not going to be able to receive and be a participant of the Spirit, of the law of the Spirit life. See, we're all the Spirit of, the Spirit. Law of the Spirit is allowing us to walk. The law of the Spirit is keeping our heart beating. But everybody's not going to be able to taste and to have and to partake in the law of the Spirit of life. That's just the way that it is. When he's in us and he is our life. Keep reading.
Verse 4.
Yes.
And that he was buried. And that he rose again.
So now Yahshua, he died according to the scriptures. And the previous speakers explained that the scriptures are simply your law and your prophets. But we came into this class to learn that Yahshua, he died according to the law and the prophets. Now, when you do a little bit of research, you're learning that the law is the first five books of your Bible. The law is the book of Genesis through Deuteronomy. We learned that the prophets is the next 34 books of your Bible. Now, the world calls that the Old Testament. the Old Testament portion of the Bible. But that's your law and your prophets. We didn't know that Yahshua died according to the law and the prophets. Read.
And that he was buried?
He was buried according to the law and the prophets. Read.
And that he rose again the third day.
He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul said that that's life eternal. If you keep it in memory, if we keep it in memory. And I've heard the people who have said to get off of love with spirit. I went to a school, and unfortunately it's a school in Florida, that they watch the MP3, DVD, whatever. We're not going to spend time on that this weekend. We ain't come here for that. But I went to that class, so now I've witnessed that these people literally, they didn't even do a moderation. They took time to put up charts. They took time to put up charts, to roll out their TV, and push play. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe nobody in the room can moderate. They're going to play the moderation. I thought, okay, you know, we're new technology. It was somebody sitting down talking the whole time. I'm like, this is trash.
Right.
I'm going to call it like I see it. We keep it real, you know?
Right.
It was garbage.
Right.
All this, these charts, and this is amazing, this room, y'all. I feel like I'm in school, but the charts painted around the walls are the vision and revelation in pictorial form.
Right.
Oh my, that's amazing.
Right.
We didn't come up with this. So now we don't have no excuse because none of y'all painted these charts.
Right.
When you came to class, it was already done.
Right.
All we had to do was just sit, listen, and learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. My dad, the three L's, look, listen, and learn. That's all you have to do, and that is so hard to do. Let's go to Revelations really quick. Because I probably am down to 15 minutes.
Yeah,
20 minutes. 12 and 7. We're going to get to the meat of it.
12 and 7.
Yes.
And there was war in heaven.
So now, did you just hear that? There was war in heaven. Everybody trying to go to heaven, and there was a war in heaven. But this is in the beginning. So the new visitor, after class, you got to just come and walk around the charts. But in the beginning, there was a war in heaven. Read.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon.
Yes.
And the dragon fought and his angels.
So now he told you that Yahweh has two mysteries in operation. A mystery of righteousness, a mystery of unrighteousness. And now you have a war going on in heaven. Read. Keep reading.
And prevailed not.
Now see, if you don't take, we want you to take a lot with you. But something that you have to remember when you're going through your daily battles, because sometimes it does get hard out there. You know, the real test is out there. We can impress each other all day, but when you walk out that door, you on a journey alone and by yourself, you gotta go to work, school, whatever. Don't ever forget this, y'all. The devil prevailed not.
Right.
The war has already been won.
Right.
Period.
Right.
We're catching up to Yahweh's purpose.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Keep reading. I mean, we prevailed not. Read.
Neither was there place found anymore in heaven.
There was no place found anymore. The devil can't get back in heaven.
Right.
He can't get back. He can pretend to be as good and as righteous, but there are no damnable spirits being saved.
Right.
There's a place for them.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
And the great dragon was cast out.
Yes.
That old serpent called the devil.
Read.
And Satan.
Yes.
Which deceiveth the whole
so
world.
So now you have the devil cast out of heaven. And it said that he was cast out of heaven into what? The earth. And what about this devil now? It said something. It said something. What did the devil do?
Deceive.
He didn't just deceive. He deceived it.
Yes.
I want y'all to see how this is past. He deceived the world. Present. He deceived the world in future.
Yeah.
He deceived the world. That's past, present, and future.
Yes.
You can't leave that back there.
Right.
He deceived the whole world.
Right.
But guess what? We didn't know that Yahweh, from the very beginning, had been communicating with mankind by way of visions. At the end of this world, he gave a man a vision. The man Noah, you might have heard about the story about Noah. But he gave Noah a vision. And Noah was obedient to the vision. He told Noah, it's going to rain. Now before he told Noah it was going to rain, they had never seen rain before. So it's like, you sound like y'all come to class. Y'all have said churches and temples, come to class. What? I'm learning about Yahweh. Yahoo? I'm familiar with Lord God and Jesus. It ain't no rain, Noah. What are you talking? Water from the sky? Back then, Yahweh allowed mist to come up from the ground. But the point is, he gave a man a vision. He told Noah to build an ark. He told Noah how to build an ark. And guess what? This ark pointed to this pattern. The speaker told you that this tabernacle pattern is critically important. The pattern has a most holy place, and a court roundabout. So now Yahweh gave divine specific instructions to build this pattern. Yahweh gave divine specific instructions to build this ark. This ark was also threefold. Why three? They already told you that it's pointing to the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, or Yahweh, Elohim, Yahshua. These three are one. So now we have two structures that Yahweh instructed man to build. The tabernacle pattern and Noah's ark. He also instructed man to build a third structure, the temple. He gave David. It's in Chronicles. We're not going to get it, but I believe it's 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. He gave David instructions on how to build this temple. And guess what, y'all? It was three parts to the temple. Right? It's you. Your body is the temple. You can read it. You probably should just have it read. What is that? 6:19 and 1 Corinthians? Your body is the temple.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 19.
Yes.
What?
What?
Know you not?
That's a what?
Yeah.
You didn't know this?
Right.
Know you not?
Yes.
That your body is
the temple
of the Holy Spirit.
What?
Right.
So you doing who knows what with who knows who and who knows how? But our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right. So now Angel Shariah Williams needs to take that personally. That my body is the temple. So now when I'm around, I'm walking around, I'm in the world. Am I of the world too?
No.
Now that I am conscious that my body is, that's for, I don't even talk to y'all, I'm talking to myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Our body is the temple. Oh my goodness. This is, you know what, basically what we're doing is a summary. But you have these structures that Yahweh instructed man to build. And what the previous speakers were taking us through was that this gospel, we didn't know why Yahshua was doing the things that he was doing. Because we were told that Jesus came to set up a Christian example for us to follow. But what we learned in school was that Yahweh gave the Hebrew people and the Hebrew people alone a law that they had to keep. For 1,500 years, the children of Israel tried to keep this law. We thought that the law only consisted of 10 commandments, but it was 613 laws and ordinances that they couldn't keep. But Yahweh gave them a way of escape because he knew they couldn't keep it. That's a reason for the tabernacle. This tabernacle pointed to Yahshua. Quickly, when we examine the tabernacle, there are three parts to the one tabernacle pattern. We've already showed you how it's pointing to the Father, Yahweh, the Word, Elohim, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. This is one tabernacle. So now in the court roundabout of the tabernacle, and it's on the chart, you have this altar right here. They would sacrifice animals on this altar. But this altar, remember, this tabernacle is pointing to Yahshua. So you have them sacrificing animals on the altar. But you got to have John pointing out Yahshua, saying, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh that has come to take away the sins of the world. So you have this altar representing death. So now the second structure, you have this laver. The laver was used to wash the sacrifices. The priest had to wash also. Remember, this is pointing to Yahshua. So you got to have Yahshua out here being baptized. Now, what do you have? You have a cup of anointing oil. So just quickly, because I probably have down 7 minutes. Let's get Matthew 3:13 really quick. Because we just want to show you how Yahshua fulfilled this labor. He had to be baptized. Because back here in the law, Moses had to baptize the high priest and the two low priests before they could officiate in the tabernacle. So you have to see Yahshua. You had John pointing out the lamb. He has to be buried or washed before he can officiate in the greater and more perfect tabernacle.
Right.
So go ahead and read what you have.
Matthew 3:13.
Yes.
Then comes Joshua from Galilee to Jordan,
right,
to John, to be baptized of him.
Yes.
But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized with thee.
And John forbade him because at that time, everybody, you know, you would come to John to be baptized, John would say, have you sinned? Everybody sinned. Everybody sinned. Now here comes Yahshua saying, no, I didn't sin. That's going to cut you off hard. Everybody sinned. Here comes the man saying, no. John's like, I need to be baptized of you. Are you coming to me? What did Yahshua say to John?
Yahshua answered and said unto him,
yes.
Suffer it to
suffer
be so
it
now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit in John. The Holy Spirit, that's eternal spirit dwelling in himself. That's the us. It ain't them in physical John. They gonna no. Keep reading, because now we're gonna show, because this cup of anointing oil, those priests, they had to be anointed before they could officiate. So you have John being baptized. What happens after he gets baptized?
And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water.
So Yahshua went, so now when you see baptisms on a church, on TV or wherever, you see the people dunking them back. All the water gonna get all up. I can't even imagine. It used to terrify me as a child when I would go to churches and see the baptismal pool. Honestly, anything about church freaked me out because we were born and raised in the class. The hymn, they would say that the babies would be crying. But anyways, Yahweh went straightway into the water. And what happened when he came up?
And lo, the heavens were opened unto him.
The heavens were opened unto him. John is having a vision. Read.
And he saw the spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting.
He didn't say he saw a dove fly on Yahweh's head. He saw the spirit. Read it. Because, you know, you can come in here and have all kind of concepts.
Right.
Sitting in here for years. It said, what did it say? The spirit.
The spirit of Elohim
the
descending.
Well, she just that. She saw that spirit descending.
Right.
Like a dove.
And lighting upon him.
Yes.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son.
So he's having a vision and he hears that voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son.
In whom?
Oh, and I got that revelation. In whom? Yahweh was right in him. In whom? I am. You can stop there. But well pleased. So that's John having a vision. He sees that spirit as a type of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the step. Got to be death, burial. You have to be anointed, and now what? We can resurrect into the holy place. Yahshua said, I am the light of the world. Yahshua said, I am that rain that rained down from heaven. Yahshua is the only mediator between Yahweh and man. You see how this is pointing to him. You can sit here and be like, this is so boring. We're talking about boards and pillars and boards and gold and silver. Like, what does this have to do with any? You see Yahshua. And now what? In this most holy place, you have this 3-in-1 configuration. We've been talking about the unity of the Spirit the whole night. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's all pointing to Yahshua. Now, just really quick, because I'm down to probably 1 minute. Let's get Matthew's 24:14, because the state and condition of the world, I mean, we're here. Yahshua said that the times in the end are going to be worse than ever on the face of the earth. I probably quoted that wrong. But we can see it, you guys. Don't get caught up in the world. This world belongs to the devil. Right. And I had a minister share this a couple of days ago. When Yahshua was taken into the wilderness for those 40 days to be tested of the devil offered Yahshua the kingdoms of what? This world. First of all, he created it all. But that's all he could offer them. Offer him. Is the kingdom, that's all the devil can offer you. To get your eyes, look at this, this is glittering gold. Come on, you know, that's what he does. He uses the senses, right? Because our five senses can't detect spirit, but the devil got some for all the senses. He got something, girl, for you to look at. He got something for you to touch, taste. He can mess you up. But what are we doing? We're keeping our eye on Yahshua. And where is he? In us. He's what? Guiding our conscience, making intercession for us. Read it sometime. That transcript is a bomb. But just really quick, 24.
Matthew 24:14. Yes. And this gospel of the kingdom.
This gospel, we haven't read. This gospel can save our soul. This gospel we're standing in. This gospel of the kingdom, read.
Shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations.
Can you do me a favor? Can you please get Acts 17:30, just really quick, but go ahead and keep reading.
For a witness.
So the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah according to the scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah. That's the gospels. I took a religion course in college, and they taught the class, because I was sitting in there, I'm like, that is not true. They taught us that there's four gospels. There is only one gospel. And that's in our Bible. The gospel of, but no. I got an A in that class, y'all. read what you have. You know what? And in the, I'm quick. Read what you have.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world.
Yes. And it is, look at where we are now. We have YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
This gospel is being broadcasted all over the world. Yeah. When I found out that we have brethren in Russia, people in Russia that love this gospel, you can't hate the Russians. Watch the news enough, they're going to have you hating Russians. No, we have brethren in Russia. This gospel is being preached all over the world. But guess what? Yahweh don't need you to preach his gospel. Oh, you thought you were needed. Stop there. Go here. We always love it that we need it.
Acts 17:30.
This is Acts 17:30. Read.
And the times of this ignorance,
right?
How him wink at.
And you're going to have to read up a little bit, you guys, but keep reading.
But now commands all men everywhere to repent.
Now. Listen. Right here. This started the now, but now you really don't have no excuse. Because see, the first Pentecost was for the Jews only. No Gentiles was invited to this party. But now y'all really don't have an excuse. But Pentecost now, read, he's commanding all men
to repent.
Read, keep reading.
Because he has appointed a day.
Yahweh has appointed a day.
In the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained.
He couldn't judge the world in righteousness. He set up a type of righteousness. This was righteousness for Israel. But he wouldn't have been fair if he just killed the whole world. He set up a... Now we don't have an excuse, you guys. Keep reading, sir.
Whereof he hath given assurance unto all
men.
Wait
a minute. Yo, Dean gave assurance.
No.
Hold on now. Go back a little bit. He appointed a day.
Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained.
This is the man he ordained. This is the only man. This is Superman. He's the only man. Read. Keep reading.
Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men.
Yahweh gave assurance. unto all men. Read.
In that he hath raised him from the dead.
Look up the definition of assurance. But he gave the proof that he raised his son from the dead. We didn't come up with the sun. We didn't create the sun and put it out there in the horizon to appear that it's going down as a death, being buried under the horizon to resurrect. We didn't come up with going to bed at night. We didn't come up with eating. Yahweh gave the proof. And these are just easy examples that we can use, but they're major.
Right.
The whole religious world ain't taking this S-U-N, which is so great, we can't even look at it with our eyes. They're not correlating that with the true sun. And you insignificant people here, all this knowledge in this room, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We are truly blessed. The Christians talk about how blessed and highly favored they are. They have no clue, y'all. We have been given jewels, and we're going to hold on to them.
Yes. That's right.
All honor.
Yes.
All praises. Yes. I don't even need to tell y'all that. No. I'm talking to the wrong group. All honor. All praise. Goes to Yahweh through his son, Yahshua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In closing, I just want to acknowledge the schools that are here for the first time. Just tell the people that maybe don't know everybody. We have a list of schools. We have a school as a present.
We'd like to thank the Gates New York class, Syracuse, New York, Southfield, Michigan, Ontario, Canada, Springfield, Ohio, Chicago and Northside Chicago, Illinois classes, Oceanside, California, Phoenix, Arizona, Madison, Wisconsin, Tampa, Florida, and Orlando, Florida.
The other thing I wanted to say in closing is we pushed the limit on the ceiling. It's a 2-hour fire ceiling, and the fire was burning for 2 hours. But anyway, that's just a little jab. The big thing tomorrow, 11 o'clock, the Green Bay Choir is going to sing at the picnic. And if anyone does not know how to get to the picnic, please come up here. We will have the directions on the board for you. And if we want to figure out a place to go eat, if people want to commune, we can figure something out.
Old
Chicago is pretty big. They're not open after
that.
Old Chicago is pretty big. That would work. Old Chicago. If people don't know where it is, we